Well, grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. So I've come to realize, I think, that there are generally two kinds of people who love to throw dinner parties. There are those I know who delight in planning these exquisite menus and then going out and shopping for hand-picking all of the ingredients for the meal, precisely preparing each course with loving care, setting a beautiful table, and presenting and then serving the meal to their guests. And then there are those who know the very best caterers in the area and don't hesitate to use them. Now, both forms of hospitality are equally welcoming and wonderful. And as every good host or hostess knows, great food is a rather grand thing. But it is only one component that we have in a shared meal. The attitudes, the atmosphere, and the attention to details that we give are also the true condiments that make a meal like that special. The best foods in the world, if they are served with a side of rancor, are unpleasant and oftentimes unpalatable. Now, here in this morning's gospel reading that we have from Luke, you will recall that this is really on the heels of last week's gospel reading, the Good Samaritan parable. And here we have now a story that on the surface seems almost to, in some ways, contradict those Good Samaritan images that we had last week of selfless giving and of gracious hospitality. Now, Jesus has just come off the hostile roads of Samaria, and he is now dining at a safe and restful place, the hometown of his best friend Lazarus and Lazarus's two sisters, Mary and Martha. And this tight-knit relationship that is shared here between Jesus and this particular family is evident throughout the Gospels. If this dinner party that Jesus was attending was at the time that many of us think it was happening to coincide with that week-long festival of booths that I had talked about with you a couple of weeks ago, or the Sukkot, as some scholars suggest. And if that is the case, well, then this dinner would have also been a fairly large event with many other guests being present on that day. It's very similar in many respects to our American celebration of Thanksgiving. And like any holiday bash, there would have been lots and lots of busy work involved with getting things prepared, getting a meal out and the table set and everybody able to gather together. So Martha, now the primary hostess we find at this meal, sees herself as at a moment in time being overwhelmed or perhaps stressed out by everything that needs to still be done in order to pull off this dinner party that she has been planning. But the real bee in her bonnet is that her sister Mary is not, it would seem, pulling her own weight in any of these preparations. Instead of helping out her sister with the work that needs to be done, Mary is instead helping herself to a heaping portion of Jesus. She is busy sitting at his feet and listening to what he was saying. So from Martha's stressed out perspective here, she's the one left having to hold the bag or left to having to serve others while Mary is just simply serving herself. Therefore, the first one to break, you might say, that hospitality code is Martha herself, because she, who is supposed to be the one now taking care of Jesus, instead asks Jesus to take care of her. She asks him to do something about her sister Mary and about that lack of assistance. And the second person to break then the hospitality code is Jesus himself. For he refuses to honor the wishes of his hostess. And instead, Jesus gently chides Martha here for her behavior. Martha, Martha, you are worried and you are distracted by many things. Now that term that we have distracted here, as it is translated in the Greek, is thorobazomai, which is commonly used to describe an uproar, perhaps like an uproar of a great crowd. So in other words, Martha is pissed. So tell me, how many holiday dinners have you attended where family meltdowns have taken place? How many times have you witnessed or perhaps even been accused of doing childish things? How many times has a discussion, say, around politics made for bad table fellows? Or perhaps the biggest of the big questions, how many times has something gone wrong for you in the kitchen? Somebody's gotten in the way, something is discovered burning in the oven, or maybe the dishes are just simply piling up to a point where you can't even work there in the kitchen any longer. So of course we all know that if the cook ain't happy, nobody is happy, right? The basic problem in each of these situations is that the host or the hostess wants to make everything perfect. They want the food that is being served to be perfect. They want the table that has been set to look perfect with perfect decorations on it. They want there to be perfect conversations being taking place around the table, perfect by perfect guests. A combination, by the way, that unfortunately rarely occurs anywhere this side of paradise. And in fact, Martha's meltdown is as commonplace and is as predictable as our own. And Jesus' response is both unusual and, I think, supportive of both of these sisters here. First, note that Jesus does not criticize or condemn Martha for all of the hard work that she has put into preparing this meal, all of the cooking and the serving of guests. Martha obviously was a woman who knows what it takes to cook for a crowd. And Jesus is a family friend. So surely he has been on the receiving end of Martha's home-cooked meals and gracious hospitality many times before. We all like to be invited to eat and to relax at a friend's house, where we know that we don't have to ask for permission to go and grab a glass out of the cupboard, or where we can open up the fridge and grab a cold beer or something to eat, or where we can sit back and relax and enjoy ourselves without having to be the guest, even though that is exactly what we are. Jesus is comfortable in Martha's home because she has made that place a comfortable one for him to be at. And Jesus enjoys her hospitality. Jesus, who, somewhat, I think, a foodie, actually delights in the meals that she cooks. Jesus keeps coming back to this particular home and to this particular family because he knows that he can enjoy both good friends and good food there. Jesus loves Martha's cooking. And Martha, too, I believe, relishes her role as being the hostess. Martha loves being able to cook a meal for Jesus. And in fact, hosting Jesus in particular, and I would say hospitality in general, is part of her Martha identity. For Martha, the welfare of her guests is not something to worry about, but rather something to relish in. She loves to serve. She comes alive when she is able to take care of others. She's a home chef who takes pride in her culinary creations, and it gladdens her heart to give those that she serves the very best of what she possibly has to offer them. But at this particular meal, Martha has lost sight of that focus. Now, we don't know exactly why she suddenly became so anxious and so fretful. But instead of finding delight in the preparing a table that nourishes her guests both physically and spiritually, she instead finds her work to be degrading and a chore, because she has to labor out in the kitchen while her sister Mary delights herself sitting at Jesus' feet. Therefore, for whatever reason, Martha is fixated on what she sees as a failure on the part of her sister to carry out her part of the meal, her share of the load. But Jesus now redirects Martha's focus. His words to her remind Martha that she does what she does because she loves to do it. Jesus loves to receive Martha's gift of hospitality because it delights her to serve. Therefore, let's get this right. Jesus does not come to her home for just the food, as good as her cooking might be. Jesus comes to Martha and Mary's home because he delights in their presence. And he reminds Martha here in this morning's text that he wants her to delight in his presence as well. Jesus also reminds Martha that it's not what she serves that is important here, but why she serves. Jesus embraces Martha as the one who has welcomed him. Jesus does not want Martha to think, however, that her service is the only thing that he values about her. It's her presence. It's her open door as well as her heart. All that is herself, which makes every meal in this home a great banquet for Jesus. Martha has a lot of chores to go along with her role as a hostess. But Jesus reminds her that he is not there to be a chore, but rather a joy. The relationship between this family and Jesus is the real reason that he is there. And that should be the central focus, you see, of this gathering. Mary, on the other hand, is focused wholeheartedly on Jesus and what he is now saying to her as well as to the other guests that are present there. She is offering as well a kind of hospitality, but in a different kind of way from Martha's hospitality. She is offering hospitality by sitting there and by listening intently to his words. Mary, in other words, delights in Jesus' presence, pure and simple. He is there, and he has been welcomed, and she now is ready to listen to him. The food that is being served is great, but it is not central to that moment for Mary. And once again, Jesus is not reprimanding Martha here. Rather, he is reminding Martha of what truly matters the most. Jesus wants Martha to know that he would rather eat leftover chicken McNuggets in her living room than eating filet mignon in someone else's home. The server is far more important to Jesus than the service, or what happens to be on the menu. The hostess is more important to him than the hospitality. Now, here at St. Paul, I believe that we have many Marthas among us. In fact, you are some of the most important ministers that we have here in this church. And I want you to know this morning that I thank God for each and every one of you Marthas that are here. But what makes you so special is not your service, even though we all depend upon it. What makes you so special, and you Marthas know who you are, what makes you so special is you. You are the most important thing that we have here at St. Paul. Or for that reason, it's far more than the carrot cake that you choose to bring with all of that loving care that you put into it, or for the hours that you have spent here getting things set up and ready, or out in the kitchen washing the dishes. We love you. You who are Christ's servants, you are the ones that are more important to us than anything else. And it's not just because of your service. It's because of who you are. There are two kinds of people in the church. There are Martha disciples and there are Mary disciples. And so perhaps to paraphrase the psalmist, delight yourself in the Lord, all of you Marthas and all of you Marys, and you will give, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen.